Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Everybody, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike. We are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Thursday, March 22nd, and there is a ton of news to get into, so let's get right to it. The big news item of the day, the Miami Dolphins signed running back Frank Gore. I think it's a very good move. I know a lot of fans out there, I shouldn't say a lot. I would say it's split about 50-50. Most fans like the move, but there are about half the fan base who don't understand it and don't understand why the Miami Dolphins are looking at older running backs, guys who are on the wrong side of 30 years old. And let me just say, relax, okay? Frank Gore will be 35 in May, but he has been a productive running back up until last year. Last year, he ran for 961 yards. The year before, he ran for just over 1,000, 1,025, in 2015, 967. This guy, and he's doing this in Indianapolis, and if there is a franchise who's had a worse offensive line than Miami the past 3 or 4 years, it probably is Indianapolis. So Frank Gore is putting up these big numbers running behind a terrible offensive line unit in Indianapolis, and he was pretty much their number one back there. He did split at times, especially last year and stuff. He did split at times, but for the most part, he was their lead back. And again, he signed with Miami today on a one-year contract. And I saw some numbers leaked. I'm not sure if they're confirmed, but it was pretty much for the veteran minimum. I think on a salary cap, he's only counting $630,000 roughly. It's not a lot of money, and there's no risk involved here for Miami. Because if they get to training camp and Frank Gore, you know, he does sort of fall off that cliff, so to speak, they can just release him and move on, and no harm, no foul. And at best, Frank Gore is the number two running back in Miami. He wasn't signed to be the lead back. So let's get that straight as well. He will be the number two. The past 3 years in Indy, he has had for carries 260 carries, 263 carries, 261 carries. So he's in that neighborhood of 260 carries. In 2018 in the Miami Dolphins, I would think that number will not even be that high. I think the Miami Dolphins know they got a veteran running back who will be 35 in May. So when the season starts, he's going to be 35. And they're going to use him wisely, not overuse him. And they know what they got here. So there's that. He's not a number one running back, and that's not what he was brought here for. And this move of signing Frank Gore in no way, shape, or form stops the Miami Dolphins from drafting a running back in this draft. Not in the least. This move has no effect on that. And I think that's what a lot of fans need to understand who are upset with this move. Just because Miami signed Frank Gore doesn't mean they're not going to draft a running back. They still might take one early. They could take one around two if the right guy's there. One move has nothing to do with the other. The Miami Dolphins needed a veteran running back. Because as of today, March 22nd, the only running back they really have on their roster is Kenyon Drake. Okay, he's really it. I know they got Sonoris Perry and stuff and some other guys. But for the most part, Drake is the only guy who is assured of being on this roster next year. They needed a veteran guy, a number two guy, someone who's strong at pass blocking because you have a quarterback who's coming back from some knee injury. So you needed someone who can pass block. Frank Gore can handle that. And also, you know, Frank Gore is a South Florida guy. He was raised in South Florida. He went to college at the University of Miami. So he is sort of going to put the bow on his NFL career by playing for his hometown team. And Frank Gore, you know, he's probably only got 1 year left in him, maybe two, who knows. And, you know, he wants, look, it's a Hall of Fame career he's got. Frank Gore is going to Canton, okay? He's got a Hall of Fame resume. And, you know, the final year or so of his time in the NFL as a player, he wants to play for his hometown team. And per all the reports, the main one was from Armando Salguero, who said earlier today, Frank Gore really, really wants to sign with Miami. He really wants to play with Miami. It's not about money. And if the numbers I saw leaked are right, it wasn't about money because he's pretty much playing for the veteran minimum. So Frank Gore signs with Miami. It's a good move, folks. It's a really good move. Miami needs this type of guy. Excuse me. And he's someone who can take a Kenyon Drake under his wing, who can take whoever Miami drafts, whether they draft a running back around 2, 3, 4, 6, who knows. They can take that running back. He can take that running back under his wing, and he can sort of show them the ropes and help them out as they are younger guys, obviously. Now, Drake, look, we all love Kenyon Drake, but we have to be realistic, too. Drake, last year, the final, what, five or six, he exploded on the scene, and he played tremendous. Nobody's going to knock him, but it's still a very small sample size. And while we think we have a great player in Drake, you know, we really, it's just a small sample size of five games. So having someone like Frank Gore around will hopefully rub off on someone like Kenyon Drake. He can help show him the ropes and help him become a better pro. Frank Gore knows at this age, he doesn't have many years left in this league. In fact, this might be the last one. So he will be open to, you know, helping his fellow running backs on this team. I was reading some reporters who covered Frank Gore the past 3 years in Indianapolis today online when this news broke. They had nothing but positive things to say about Frank Gore. How he was a great leader and he was a great teammate for the Indianapolis Colts. And we've all heard for the past however many weeks that the Miami Dolphins are trying to change the culture of their locker room, trying to bring in good quote-unquote team guys. That's why they brought in Josh Sitton. That's why they brought in the wide receiver Amendola. They have the reputation of being good locker room guys, good leaders, guys who lead by example and who go the extra mile. Frank Gore's cut from the same cloth. He's one of those type of guys who'll be the first one to show up for practice and the last one to leave. The guy who will put in extra work with his teammates and help them get better. And, you know, he's one of those guys. So the Miami Dolphins for essentially, let's be honest, essentially no money here and a vet minimum with no risk at all, excuse me, got a very good running back. Yes, he's 35. Don't let that scare you. When I think of Frank Gore and what he brings to Miami, the age is one of the last things I'm worried about. Because anyone who knows Frank Gore knows he's a workout warrior and he keeps himself in tip-top shape. And to even be able to play running back of all positions in the NFL at age 35, you know you keep yourself in tip-top shape. Because at age 31, 32, 33, 34, teams aren't looking to sign those types of guys, okay? And Frank Gore has still been productive, like I said, the past, you know, he's been productive pretty much every year since 2006, but without going way, way back. Look at the recent years since he turned 30. Let's just go last 5 years since he turned 30. At 30 years old, he ran for 1,128 yards. At age 31, he ran for 1,106 yards. At age 32, 967. At age 33, 1,025. And last year, 961. And like I said, many of those yards were not behind great offensive lines, to say the least. So Frank Gore. Now, look, we all know Miami flew in DeMarco Murray on Monday, met with him Monday. Odds are Murray, even though he's 5 years younger, wanted more money. And that's why he probably left without a deal, which is fair because he is a little bit younger. But if you're just going off production and you go off recent production, in 2017, Frank Gore, he might be older, but he was a better player than DeMarco Murray. More production on the field. And another thing about Gore, he don't miss games. Okay, the last game he missed was in 2011. And in that year, he missed one game. Okay, he missed one game. And between 2012 and 2017, he has played in 16 games and started in 16 games. And in 2011, he played in 16 games and he started 15. So really, he didn't start one game in 2011. This guy is a machine. And it's a good signing for the Dolphins. Once again, it does not stop them from drafting a running back. So don't think this does, because He's just here probably for a year. You know, if he has a good year this year, you know, maybe he signs another one-year deal for, like, little to no money. But, you know, this is probably a one-year move. The other big news story of the day is the Miami Dolphins have flown in quarterback Brock Osweiler and are meeting with him today. And there was a report by Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald saying the Miami Dolphins, again, they want a veteran backup quarterback. That's the goal. Now, that has nothing to do with the draft, okay? Again, just because you sign a veteran quarterback now does not mean you are no longer interested in drafting a quarterback. One has nothing to do with the other. So let's get into Brock Osweiler. And I know, again, the fan base is sort of split. Well, half the fan base is like, yeah, that's fine. He's just a backup, not the end of the world, which I am on that side. I'm more positive on this than some. And then a lot of you fans who have been reaching out to me via email, Twitter, Facebook, and stuff, some of you guys are up in arms. Like, he's terrible. Why would you even entertain it? Well, again, time out. Relax. Here's why. The Miami Dolphins want a veteran backup quarterback. I'm sorry, a guy like David Fells doesn't cut it. David Fells is not a number two quarterback in this league. He played okay in that Week 17 game this past year against the Bills. Just okay. He's not a guy you want to enter the year with as your number two quarterback. So with that in mind, even if Miami drafts someone, and say they draft someone in round one, say they get Mayfield, they still want a veteran quarterback on this roster because you need that type of guy here at this point to be Ryan Tannehill's number two and someone who you'll want around to help, you know, groom someone like Mayfield. So this move, if they make the move, or whether it's Osweiler or someone else, because if it's not him, they're going to sign another veteran quarterback. It's made for more than just on-the-field reasons here. But let's get into Osweiler. He has ties with Gase, obviously. Adam Gase was his quarterback coach and his offensive coordinator when Brock broke into the league. He was with Gase in Denver between 2012 and 2014. Adam Gase knows him. He knows a lot about him. And he was part of the reason probably that the Broncos drafted him. So there's strong ties there. The other thing with Brock Osweiler, he's only 27 years old. He will not be 28 until late November. So he's still very young, especially at that position. 27 is a baby at that position. So he's still young. And I know, as of late, Brock Osweiler has not been good. I'm not trying to convince you Brock Osweiler is a good quarterback. He is not, okay? He's not. He has struggled of late. With that said, there's not much else out there on the market for veteran quarterbacks for Miami to sign. So if it's not Osweiler, I'm going to give you a list of names of guys that are out there. And it's like, in my book, Osweiler's probably the best of a bad bunch. But, you know, some of you might not see it that way. But let me tell you the other guys on the market. Because if they don't sign Osweiler, one of these names I'm about to mention are going to be the guys they sign. Ryan Mallett, Johnny Manziel, E.J. Manuel, Mark Sanchez, Drew Stanton, or Geno Smith. So it's like, out of that group and throwing Osweiler, who would you rather have? Now look, you're hoping whoever they sign never plays. And you hope they take someone in the draft who can beat out one of these guys to be the number two quarterback in training camp. We get it. That's the dream scenario, perfect world, you know, Pollyanna type situation. But in reality, you got to be prepared. Because as we saw last year, quarterbacks went down like flies in Miami, and somebody was always hurt. So out of that group of Geno Smith, Drew Stanton, Sanchez, E.J. Manuel, Manziel, Mallett, you know, I'll take Brock Osweiler. Out of that group, he's the best of a bad bunch. And looking at his numbers, obviously they're bad. But 2016, he started 14 games for Houston. You know, he was 8-6 as a starter. Now, I know quarterbacks isn't a win stat and all that stuff. I get it. But, you know, in games he started, his team won 8 games. So, 8-6. He threw 15 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. Obviously bad. He threw in those 14 starts, he threw for under 3,000 yards. Obviously bad. Not saying he's good. But with a number two quarterback, here's how NFL teams usually view backup quarterbacks. If your starting quarterback is hurt and is out a month, can your number two quarterback in that month, in four games. Can he get you to 2-2? Can he? excuse me, my voice went out. Can he get you to 2-2 in that month? If the answer is yes, then that's the guy you'll want as your number two quarterback. So if Ryan Tannehill misses a month in 2018, can Brock Osweiler carry the Miami Dolphins to 2-2 over that four-game stretch? And he probably could. I mean, yes, he would need help, obviously. Running game, play strong on defense, obviously. But he could probably get you to 2-2. If he got you to 1-3, you're still not going to throw him to the curb. You just can't have him go 0-4. Okay? So, like I said, 8-6 in 2016 as a starter in Houston. Not good. But, you know, as a number two quarterback for a year in Miami for a one-year deal, maybe at most $5 million, which is about the going rate for a backup quarterback these days. Not the end of the world. I wouldn't be mad with it in the least. And like I said, compared to those names I mentioned, I would take Osweiler over any of them. So we'll keep an eye on this and see where the story goes. But like I said, he's only 27. He's very young still. And he's worked with Adam Gase before. Maybe Adam Gase can sort of get him back on the right track to being an average quarterback. Maybe he can catch lightning in a bottle here with Brock Osweiler to make him a passable number two quarterback, which is all Miami's looking for. The Miami Dolphins, if they signed him, do not see him as the future in any way, shape, or form. They see Ryan Tannehill as the future of 2018. And whoever they take in the draft, assuming they take a quarterback, whether it's round 1, 2, 3, 6, whatever, that would be the guy they would maybe see a future in. So, you know, if they signed Osweiler, don't read anything into it other than he is being brought in to be the number two quarterback as of now. And come training camp being over, he might not even be the number two quarterback, but that would be the role they're looking for with Brock Osweiler. So we'll keep an eye on that. In other news today, Miami Dolphins running back Damian Williams, who is a free agent, he signed with Kansas City, which pretty much opened the door for the Frank Gore signing. I should have mentioned that before. So Williams signed with Kansas City. I didn't get the terms of the deal, but he did sign with the Chiefs. He has been visiting with Indianapolis and the Chiefs, signed with the Chiefs. Again, as I said on the podcast earlier this week, it didn't seem like Miami had any interest in bringing him back. He was a good player for the Dolphins the time he was here, Williams. So best of luck to him. I hope the best for him because he really did play well at times. And he helped his team win games. And so best of luck to Damian Williams. A couple more things real quick. Baker Mayfield, the Miami Dolphins had a private workout with Mayfield on Wednesday, yesterday. That's when they had the private workout. So they worked him out. And a couple things here. We don't know if the Miami Dolphins are throwing one of the biggest smoke screens of all time with their such a public interest in Mayfield. This might be the smoke screen of all smoke screens, and they have no intention of taking this kid. And who knows? The other side of this is, that wouldn't shock me. The other side is they actually love the kid and would love to draft him if possible. But something to remember here. The Jets are picking third. And even before they made the trade, they were picking sixth. So they're in that range where they were probably going to get a quarterback. And everyone knows under the sun the Jets wanted a quarterback. The trade last Saturday to move up to three just sort of seals that stamp that they want a quarterback. The Buffalo Bills want a quarterback as well. And they made a move, obviously, to move up to pick 12, and they're trying their hardest to get in that top, you know, 3, 4, 5 of the draft to get a quarterback. So with those two teams, odds are one of them could land Mayfield. So Miami might have this interest here because they know that as well. They're not dumb. They know that as well. So they might be showing this interest in Mayfield, doing some research in that, look, we might be facing this guy twice a year for the next 10 years, 12 years. Let's get to know him real well. Let's get to know his tendencies and all that stuff because we might be facing this guy a lot for many years to come. So they might be just doing opposition research on him right now, thinking, you know, we're going to be seeing a lot of this kid if we don't get him. So there's that. That does come into factor. But again, we don't know, and we're not going to know until draft night how this plays out. The other thing here, the Giants picking number two. Today they made that trade where they sent pass rusher Jason Pierre-Paul to Tampa Bay. Now, why is that important, and how does it tie into Miami? Here's how and why. It looks like the Giants, as of today, per all the reports coming out of New York City, and now there's a lot of reports, because down there, at pick number two, you got the Giants. Pick number three, you got the Jets. So the beat reporters for both teams are just, you know, they're going nuts right now because they're getting like rumors and scoops and all stuff. And like I say, when there's enough smoke, there's usually fire and there's probably some truth. So the two reports out of New York City that mean the most right now to Miami is with this trade, they're saying the Giants are probably looking at Chubb. Because why would they trade a pass rusher they just gave a long-term deal to not that long ago, unless you plan to replace him with another pass rusher? There's that. The other thing is, the other report is the Giants love the quarterback out of USC. Love him. Sam Darnold. But they know he ain't going to be there because all the reports out of Cleveland is that the Browns are taking him at one. And that's pretty much signed, sealed, done deal. As much of a lock as you can get with a draft. The USC quarterback's going one. So the Giants know they're not going to be able to take him at two. And per all the reports, like I said, nothing's really confirmed. But enough smoke, there's fire. The Giants aren't that in love with the other three big quarterbacks of Allen, Rosen, Mayfield. So the Giants would like Chubb. And that's why they made the trade today. But the Giants know they don't have to take Chubb at two. That they can trade down one of these teams who are dying for a quarterback and still get Chubb at either three or four or five or something like that. Because if you're the Jets, and let's just get to the other report from the Jets reporters, is the Jets are all in on the UCLA quarterback, Josh Rosen. So the Jets want Rosen and don't want to lose him. So if you're the Jets, you could throw the Giants a third or a fourth round pick and move up a spot to pretty much lock in you're getting Rosen. So then the Giants move down to three, where they could take Chubb at three. Or the Giants could talk to a team like the Broncos, and because they're in on these guys as well. And if the Broncos are in love, you know, with either Allen or Mayfield or whoever, you know, then they can slide down to five, the Giants, pick up more picks. Then at four, you would think the Browns take Saquon Barkley, because they were talking about taking him at one. Now they can get the quarterback from USC they want and still get him at four, Barkley. So then at five, if you're the Giants, then you take Chubb. And, you know, you just picked up a ton of extra picks and you still got the guy you wanted. So this upcoming draft, look, nobody knows how it's going to play out. But you're starting to see the puzzle pieces come together. And the puzzle pieces are Browns taking the kid from USC at one. The Jets want Rosen at all costs. And the Giants want Chubb. It's just a matter of if they take him at two, or if they take him at four, or if they take him at five. It's where they take Chubb and how they can maneuver this. Now, of course, you know, stuff changes last minute and such. But that's the way the puzzle's starting to come together. So with that thought process, if you asked me a week ago, and I still feel this way, that the big four quarterbacks, the kid from USC, the kid from UCLA, Mayfield, and Josh Allen, those four are going to be gone by about pick six. So I don't see any one of those four falling to Miami at pick 11. With that said, the Giants may actually help out Miami here in some way, shape, or form. Because if they're not taking a quarterback, so then you got a quarterback going at one, you got a quarterback going at three. Then you got the Broncos, so it's no sure thing they'll take one, but most people think they probably will. Let's say they take one at either, let's just say five. Now that means you, and then you got Saquon Barkley gone at four, and then Chubb's gone wherever he's gone. Then that leaves one quarterback, whoever it may be, you know, falling past pick five, which then opens up for teams like Miami, Arizona, and the Buffalo Bills, where if they want one of these guys, you know, trading up to pick six, pick seven, pick eight, you know, it's not as costly. So if one of those guys do get past pick six or get to pick six, I think all hell might break loose and you'll see a team, probably the Bills, honestly, just because they got the most to offer, try and trade up and grab one. But Miami would be in play too. So like I said, a week ago I thought all four of those guys would be gone by pick five. As we sit today with this Giants move, one of them might fall past five. And if that happens, all hell break loose. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. Let me see, what else we got? I think that's pretty much it. Oh, there was a power ranking put out by one of the NFL.com reporters that is just, I mean, it's, they got Miami ranked 30th, which, whatever, that's his opinion. I got no problem with that. But first off, power rankings in the third week of March is laughable on every level, and you can't take them seriously because they haven't even had the draft, and free agency is a week old. I mean, literally, it's a week old. The teams aren't even set yet. So I got a major problem with that, and why you can't. I saw a lot of fans getting worked up, and I even got a little fired up myself seeing Miami ranked 30th. Miami's not one of the, look, the Miami Dolphins are not a powerhouse by any means. They are probably not even a playoff team in 2018. I get it. Not trying to say otherwise, but they are also not one of the three worst teams in the NFL. Not even close. So we can stop with that talk too. They might be ranked 20th or 22nd or 23rd. Fine, that's fair, whatever. But if you are going to do a power ranking, you know, you got to be more credible than having Miami rank 30th. They're not that bad. I'm not saying they're great, but they're not that bad. So, look, I can't take that. It's like people who do mock drafts in January. It's like you haven't had the combine, you haven't had a pro day, you haven't had free agency. But let's do a mock draft. It makes no sense. It's laughable. You read this stuff for comedy because you can't take it seriously. Doing the power ranking on March, you know, I think it came out yesterday, so March 21st or March 20th, whatever. It's comedy. You read it for comic relief. You can't take it seriously. So, you know, ignore that stuff. Don't get worked up over it. So I think that's all I got for today. Now, I did have an interview lined up for today, but with so much news breaking and so much happening, I rescheduled that and pushed it off to the weekend. So we'll have a show this weekend, and I might even have two guests on for interviews this weekend. So be on the lookout for that. We'll do a show tomorrow if news breaks. Maybe if something happens with Osweiler or something else. Also, be sure to follow the websites who re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, the Facebook pages Fanatics, and the Facebook page Doll Fanatics, as well as the website TheGruelingTruth.com and the website www.dolphin-uk.com. Follow them as well. You can also follow me on Twitter @DolphinsTalk. You can also send me an email if you wish at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, that is DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. And be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We have a bunch of news stories and articles up there as well. So everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.